Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's the season premiere of Classy Ring Attire. Because apparently those can just happen.
So we can... Oh, dear Lord, I'm trying to think of what the number would be. We just call it 201 because it'll still be season 2.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is season 2. That was my first question. Was like, is it now the second season of Raw? Like, yeah. Have they ever acknowledged seasons before?
You would think they would do that after 1,000.
I know, right? But no, I think seasons of Raw are 21 years long. So, in the year 2000...
So that was a 21-year build-up for one of the crappiest episodes I've ever seen, because that quote-unquote season finale was god-awful.
Atrocious.
Yes.
Yes, so that's what it was, in fact. That was the payoff for 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
So...
If a regular, like, a regular seasoned show ended a season like that, there would be no 6 seasons in a movie.
No. The internet would explode.
Right.
I mean, the internet exploded a little bit anyway, because the past 2 Raws before this one were pretty
right.
Rot.
And it doesn't take much for the internet to explode, either positively or negatively.
That's true, so. And that's its only emotion.
It's just like, it doesn't take much for this is awesome chant these days.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, so... I made a little spat about that in the thing I was writing. I was like, this is... So, okay, there's... So, the things that gripe me about the This Is Awesome is, one, how readily it's used.
Yeah.
And I totally get you want there to be a This Is Awesome moment at the one that you go to live.
Yeah.
I totally get that. But is it awesome?
Right.
Is it This Is Awesome worthy?
Yeah, and we've found out for ourselves that... We've gone to a Raw, and we thought it was like
it's fun. It's amazing.
Raw. And then we go home and we watch it on TV, and we read people's reaction, and we find out that it was a pretty bad episode of Raw.
Yeah.
You know,
but it helps. Also, okay. So This Is Awesome is used for an amazing match, a match that is top to bottom, well done, put on by two performers who are continually performing at the top of their game or beyond, impressively for the length of a match.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a good spot, there's a holy S-word chant for that.
Shoot?
Yes.
Okay.
Holy shucks. So, or if you want to keep it classy, there's an EC-dub chant for that.
Right.
So, so one spot does not a This Is Awesome chant make.
Right.
I feel very strongly on that.
Yeah.
So, and I feel like that's really what the problem is there'll be one spot... And that'll spawn a whole This Is Awesome chant.
Right.
And it's like, did you not watch the first 15 minutes of this match?
Yeah.
Because it's okay.
Yeah.
And then there was a cool spot. So, anyway, on to Raw this week.
Yes.
So, honestly, I think it was a good Raw. It was a really enjoyable Raw.
As looking at it from, by and large, total...
Well, here's the thing. There's like there was thing. The... And we can go into more detail on them later, but like I really like the John Cena Paul Heyman segment.
Yeah,
They did really good off each other because they always do really good off each other because Paul Heyman brings out the best in everybody.
They opened it well with the cage match.
The cage match was a really great opener. The NXT match was amazing.
Yeah,
and so there's just these such good highlight moments that then when you have like a Jerry Springer moment or like a we've got Miz's leaked pictures kind of thing, it's something I'm like. Nah, it's silly.
Right.
Look at them doing that funny thing. Whereas on another episode of Raw, I'd be like, this is the worst thing I've ever laid my eyes on.
To be fair, I did have our friend Chelsea holding my keys and having her promise me that when I give her the signal that she will stab me in the eye during the Jerry Springer segment.
But see, I think... Objectively, that was pretty awful. Objectively?
Yes.
Dumb segment.
Oh, yeah.
And of course it was going to be. But because I was kind of riding like, a fun Raw kind of feel, yeah. I don't think it bugged me on the inside.
Going in and kind of understanding that this is going to be an awful segment.
Yeah.
And you're, already like, whatever.
Yeah, but it's like...
Fine, yeah.
I'm not expecting beautiful magic to come from the Bella Twins feud with adding Jerry Springer into that mix already.
Mm.
And I'm riding high off of, they gave me... This amazing NXT-themed match.
Yeah, because that was...
whatever.
That was literally right before.
That was right after. Yeah, those two were back-to-back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, honestly, it was a good, fun, fine Raw. I really want to highlight the the Paul Heyman and John Cena thing, though.
Okay.
Because I've been so poo-poo down on this match for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Especially John Cena's
side of things.
Yeah, side of things. This was a really good thing to do.
Yeah. I was saying in my, and I was writing the 10 thoughts for this Raw, that this Heyman Cena promo did more to build up this Night of Champions match and rebuild Cena as a credible threat to Brock.
Yes.
It did that way better than the previous 2 weeks of Raw when John Cena just tore through everyone.
Yeah.
You know?
It did. The John Cena doesn't automatically not become a credible threat because of SummerSlam.
Right.
Like, you know, the SummerSlam was amazing and perfect, and John Cena was destroyed. But that if that rematch happens, I'm like, oh, it could still... Just because he's still... You've built him up for 10 years.
Yeah.
One night will not shatter that illusion.
Yeah.
So, at least for me.
Right.
Maybe a six-year-old that might be like, John Cena's the worst now. I don't want that lunchbox. Maybe. Right. And so you do need to do that. But you don't.
Is a six-year-old wanting that lunchbox? Or just Batista? Because he loves his lunchboxes.
Of course he does.
As I've heard on every single Guardians of the Galaxy press junket.
Does he like being on lunchboxes?
No, he loves collecting lunchboxes.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, he's got I think it was like a 1960s. I believe it's a Superman one that's like all-time.
That's adorable. Yeah.
No, the director, James Gunn, gave him a present, and it was Drax the Destroyer lunchbox.
That's adorable. Yeah. Oh my goodness, that warms my insides.
Makes you really want to love Batista, right?
Yes. No, I have like, over this past, from literally, like, his... There was something he said during the, like, during when we were booing him for basically not being Daniel Bryan.
Mm.
And he tweeted something, and he just seemed so hurt.
Yeah.
And I was like, I felt really bad for every mean thing I ever thought about him. And then, like, he worked really hard. You know, he was in a crappy situation. He had a, you know, and he worked with it and spun it, and it worked. And Evolution came back, and it was amazing. He worked really hard.
But you could tell he was still disappointed with how it started.
Well, like, yeah, and that's the kind of thing where, like, you know, Batista has said, like, he always felt like he should have come back as a heel. He's a natural heel, and he's always been a natural heel in, you know, even when he was playing a face during his real run.
Right.
He shines better as a heel. He has naturalistic heel tendencies.
Yeah.
And so he's, you know, but at the same time, like, that, like, coming back, that pop's gotta be nice.
Yeah.
And just to have that Royal Rumble boo has to hurt.
Yeah.
And Blue Teast is hilarious. But, like, to really, like, they put on a hell of a match.
Yeah.
The night that he chose to wear blue.
Right.
But, and to come away with Blue Teast being the thing, and it's just like, that sucks. I feel so bad for you, Batista.
Yeah.
I want to like you so much, and I do, and...
Yeah.
I want everybody to like you as much as I do. And I was already, like, going flee over Guardians of the Galaxy already.
Yeah.
Like, this was and, okay, I'm going to get real hipster right here, because I wanted to Guardians of the Galaxy, like, 4 years ago, when nobody knew what Guardians of the Galaxy was. It feels hipster, doesn't it?
Oh, that is very hipster.
It's very hipster.
But here's... I gotta fight the urge to punch you in the face.
But here's the thing. They did it right. It wasn't better before everybody knew about it. It's better now.
Right.
Because everybody knows about it, and I love it. And you should all watch Guardians of the Galaxy 2 more times.
Okay, so in that is not the spirit of a hipster, then. That's, you know, I've wanted this for a very long time.
Yes.
Now that we have it, I enjoy it, and I love that everyone else is enjoying it.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's just being a good person. I think you don't know what, like, the difference between a hipster and a good person is, Joel.
It feels, I feel like I have to, like, add that little disclaimer of, like,
right.
I like Guardians of the Galaxy before you did.
Right.
You know, we've talked about this before, like, what are you hipster about? And I always feel like mine's the Joker, because, like, people are like, I like the Joker. I'm like, you like the Dark Knight. You don't really like the Joker.
Right.
Even though, like, it hurts me to feel that way. So, but, like, it's like, you know, they're like, you know, I like Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm like, I do too!
Right.
Because you saw the movie, and it was great.
Yeah, I have moments where I feel a little hipstery about music. About certain bands.
Yeah.
Bands that I've loved for a long period of time. And I hear people talk about how they just found them and, oh, that's so great and everything. And I'm like, yeah, but they've been here all along. Where have you been? You know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, but then I'm like, you know what? Forget it, because the more people that like this certain band, the more often you might see them in a town near you.
Mm-hmm.
That I'll be able to see them in a town near me. Or they'll be in a bigger venue or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, did I love that Muse was in the all, like, every single soundtrack for Twilight movies? Not really. But they, because of it, they toured with U2 and they came back to Raleigh and Charlotte twice.
Yeah.
In the past 4 years.
No, Twilight got you to watch your band.
Right, yeah. And sure, I had to deal with, like, one Twilight Slagathor fan at, like, one concert. That was just being an unpleasant person.
Yeah.
Who just happened to be wearing a big Twilight shirt.
Yeah.
Other than that, we've been coexisting. It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not an angry YouTube commenter.
There's those things where you do get hipster about it. And
right.
And you get mad at people who, like, you know, who just now like it.
Right.
You know, and I'll get those twinges.
Yeah.
You know. But at the same time, I mean, okay, I didn't read Guardians of the Galaxy religiously.
Right.
I was just like, I know there's a talking raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to be on screen. What? They're going to make the talking raccoon movie?
Yeah.
That's going to be amazing.
And there's people, like, certain things, like when it becomes a movie or whatever, all of a sudden there's people who kind of jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
I'll be the first one to acknowledge, I had no interest in Watchmen until I saw the movie. I'm like, I really enjoyed that. I heard the comic was much better. I should read that comic. And I have the comic, and I still haven't read it. And it's been a really long time.
Wow.
It's like, what, 7 years?
Not 7 years, geez.
It's been 4 years since
2009 is when that movie came out.
Okay.
So 5 years.
5 years, okay.
Holy crap, that movie's 5 years old?
Yeah.
Golly. That makes me feel old.
And I've got Watchmen.
And you still haven't read Watchmen?
Yeah, but I got Killing Joke, and I read it immediately.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
This is why you can actually like the Joker now, and
see?
Not sit me in a corner and be like, you don't like the Joker.
You just like
Heath Ledger. Grr.
No, but I like Killing Joke. Joker.
Yeah, there you go.
That's my favorite Joker ad. That's
all right.
Wrestling.
God, we should talk about wrestling.
I'm
trying to look quick. How can I tie? What are you hipster about in wrestling, Chris? Because I don't think I am.
I don't know. Like, I pretty much like to feel like I jumped on the Ziggler bandwagon long before it was cool.
Yeah.
Me and you both.
Yeah.
You were the first one out of the two of us.
To go for Ziggler?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I still like Ziggler. I didn't like Spirit Squad Ziggler.
Well,
or even really like early Vicky. Remember like when he was like wearing a tool belt or something because he had to like fix a light or something in Vicky's office.
They actually just used that clip in the on the network for the top general managers.
Oh, really?
They used that clip, and he was hanging a poster.
Okay.
And he was like standing on a sofa, but like still kind of squatting a little bit to hang it on the wall with the little tool belt and
yeah.
the short shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that happening, and like I consciously remember being like, that D-list wrestler, grr, guess who I don't like, wasting my time on SmackDown.
Yeah, and I have moments about CM Punk where I felt like, because I enjoyed the crap out of him like long before he was, you know, even before Straight Edge Society. Like,
yeah.
I was kind of pissed that he turned heel. So,
yeah.
Well, I wanted him to be the next big babyface.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, he turned heel, and I'm like, okay, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know? And I remember, like, it felt like I was one of the first few people to talk about, hey, you guys, his contract up is in 6 months. We should probably, like, look out for that. And then next thing you know, 6 months from there, you had the whole Punk is leaving story.
I remember you talking about that. I remember you, like, being worried that CM Punk's contract was
I was
up.
Like, you know, because I felt like at that time, Punk was being severely undervalued.
Yeah, because that was...
Because he had just joined the new Nexus.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of in that weird spot, and he wasn't really getting a whole lot of time, or he wasn't getting a whole lot of anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, you guys, you can't lose this amazing talent you've got.
Yeah. Yeah, because I really enjoyed CM Punk, but he was definitely not on my radar like
right.
he was on yours there. But, like... But see, even then, I'm like, I love CM Punk, and, like... But I cannot pretend to,
yeah.
like, I liked CM Punk before any of you did.
Yeah.
Because, like, I did not know CM Punk existed in Ring of Honor.
Right.
At the time. Like, I didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
And everybody's excited about Bryan Danielson. And I'm like, that's not a name I am familiar with at all. I'm gonna just sit here and wait for.
And yeah, like we tend to be very WWE centric.
We do
here, and so like Daniel Bryan wasn't exactly on my radar until NXT. Like I'll go ahead and admit it, but because of that, I went back and I've watched back.
And let's be fair, he was in Ring of Honor. Both he and CM Punk were in Ring of Honor during the time I wasn't even watching Raw. Like, true, I was watching nothing at that time.
Yeah, had we been, like, you know, watching Raw or watching WWE in any fashion and, you know, active on whatever the wrestling form of Reddit was back then.
I have no idea.
Me neither.
Wrestling Observer Forums.
I just assumed Reddit always was there, just like I assumed YouTube was always existed.
Oh, YouTube is...
Since 2007, now, right?
2005.
2005? Okay.
Yeah, but it's like... But go back and look at, like Attack of the Clones is older than YouTube.
Oh, dear Lord.
You cannot watch the trailer for Attack of the Clones on YouTube because it didn't exist.
I mean, I don't know why you'd want to, but fair enough.
Or any other thing. Like, X-Men 2 came out before YouTube.
But X-Men 3, though.
X-Men 3.
The best of them.
Butthole of a movie.
We are, like, really not wanting to talk about wrestling. Like, we're going every... Like,
Okay. Yeah. All right, here we go. Wrestling. What is a wrestling about?
What is a wrestling about?
Well, okay. I mean, honestly, I don't have a whole lot to say about Raw this week.
Yeah. It was good. Other than it was better.
And clap, clap. Good job for you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, here's the thing. There is genuinely nothing new under the sun. Even the stuff that I'm enjoying and I'm fine with is not new.
Right.
I can't sit here and be like, Paul Heyman cut an amazing promo. Where did that come from?
Right.
John Cena is at his best at promos against Paul Heyman. Where did that come from? Randy Orton is going to face Chris Jericho probably at Night of Champions. I'm actually really excited about that.
Yeah.
That, you know, Chris Jericho is great. He pulls great stuff out of people. Randy Orton, I still believe, can put on amazing matches if he cares.
Yeah.
I think Chris Jericho will force him to. That's going to be in a great match. I'm looking forward to it. It's nothing new, though.
No.
So I can't say anything about it. And we don't have that thing right now to, like, this is the thing we have to talk about. This is the thing to tune in because what is going to happen in this story? And so I was watching the Monday Night War show on the network, and I started imagining what in 15 and 20 years, when they make the documentary about this era, what will it be about? What will be the things that, and the reality era, or the whatever you want to call this era? And because you watch the Monday Night War stuff, and first of all, and again, I haven't seen the most recent episode, but this is a very big example of history as written by the winners.
Yeah.
Like, this is, that, like, the, you know, the narration of it is very pro-WWE, pro the talents.
Yeah.
And the genius of Vince McMahon for seeing through his creative vision art, and boo to Ted Turner, and his,
and you know, it's not like they're saying anything that isn't true, but they're painting it with a very WWE favorite.
Yeah, WWE has is, you know, talent, and they're doing it for the art of wrestling, and they have what it takes, and they were creative enough and smart enough to do it right, whereas, you know, WCW it wrong.
But then the actuality of it is, like, not so much they're doing it right. They're doing it because they have to.
Yeah.
And they're doing, like, it in response of what WCW was doing.
Yes. And so there's a couple things. First of all, but except for the episode, there was an episode about the NWO and the rise of the NWO. And that one, first of all, that was a great episode. That one episode was a better NWO documentary than the actual NWO documentary which was atrocious. But that one was very WCW-centric, but the rest of them have been very WWE-centric.
Yeah.
You know, with little snippets of, like, oh, you know, they're like, we did this and this and this, and WCW didn't. And we did this and this and this, and we innovated this, and this happened, and we did this, and WCW did. So even though it is technically a documentary about the Monday Night War, right now it's largely just documentary episodes about the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
And certain aspects of the Attitude Era. And just think about, like, in 15, 20 years, what are they going to make documentaries about? And, you know, and you hear about, you know, and again, we spoke about this before on the podcast, how when you do a documentary like that, it is there to glorify the thing that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But the things that they say that they did there, I don't feel like, if they said that they did those, and it was a good thing that they did, and that was what was successful, but I don't think they're doing that right now. Are they trying every week, without fail, every single week, to top the previous week?
Yeah.
Because they all said, Vince Russo, Vince McMahon, Stephanie McMahon, have all said on that documentary that they tried to top the previous week every week, and that's right. What they are crediting their success as a successful wrestling company to.
Yeah.
And they're not doing that now.
No.
And so, and you know, and like, you know what? I even came into this podcast being like, a good episode of Raw. We're going to talk about good things. But like, you know, now sitting here, I'm like,
once we actually dive into it,
The good things are there, but they're not talkable about.
Yeah.
Which is a weird way to put it, but we, you know, it's nothing new. It's stuff that I've seen before. And so, yeah, I'm happy it's good. I'd rather have it be good stuff I've seen before than You're bad right. stuff I've seen before. So,
yeah.
You know, still good job for that, but I don't know. I don't know what I'm missing.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of it is what is, you know, part of it is that all the new stuff is still not at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an old, old complaint.
Yeah.
That I would just, you know, rehash again, but it's that the people I'm ready to see break through, anybody from The Shield, Dolph Ziggler, even like, you know, I would still be interested in like Zack Ryder coming out of nowhere and having a decent run.
Cesaro,
any of these guys that I do not think it's a crazy jump to suddenly have them be a credible threat.
Yeah.
To not even to the title, because the title's on Brock Lesnar, and you do something with that.
Yeah.
But have Bray Wyatt or Roman Reigns come out and just beat up John Cena. And John Cena can't right now, on this week, I know that. Yeah. But I'm not talking about this specific week. I'm
just saying, sometime in the near future.
Yeah. You know, and like, or have, you know, have Roman Reigns just, you know, something crazy off the wall happen. Have a, you know, wheeled vehicle come in. When's the last time, you know, they said, like, we did crazy stuff every week, and it was a little montage of, like, Stone Cold drives a Zamboni, Stone Cold drives a beer truck, Stone Cold drives a monster truck, Stone Cold drives a forklift.
Cement truck.
Yeah, so, like, Stone Cold just drove things in.
Yeah.
When's the last time somebody drove something in? It's like, I didn't expect that. When's the last time somebody...
Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, but he didn't. He drove in and parked and put on the parking brake and took off his seatbelt and like, which is good. Good following the rules of the road. No,
I take that back. Daniel Bryan drove in a forklift.
Did he? I believe you. It's not.
Extreme Rules is matching his
yes.
Kane.
Yes, he did.
He brought back Kane in on a forklift.
You're right. He brought back Kane in on a forklift.
And then he did a flying headbutt from the top of the forklift.
Yes.
And probably made his injuries worse.
Yes. That's why Daniel Bryan's not here right now.
Because of forklifts.
Because of the forklift. I take back wanting forklifts. They took away my Daniel Bryan.
So basically, take away Triple H's shovel. It's now a forklift.
It's now a forklift. Yep. That takes away what you love.
Yep.
I don't know. I've been hesitant to make this complaint because it feels like I'm just saying, I don't like what you give me. Give me something different. I don't know what it is, but it's on you, not me.
Yeah, but they're getting paid to do this.
Yeah.
So, I don't think it's too much to ask, you know, for something better.
Yeah, and like...
Honestly, like, I said it, like, half-jokingly, but it might ring truer than anything. If Vince would just pretend that Monday Night Football is actually WCW, maybe then he would actually give a crap.
Yeah.
You know, because, yeah, like, let's not sugarcoat it. This whole series premiere branding of this show.
It's code for don't change the channel.
It's code for don't go watch that crappy Lions and whoever game that was going on at the same time. Don't worry about football right now. You know, they're all a bunch of domestic abusers and drug addicts anyways. So,
well,
give it another week and they'll make that joke.
I don't think wrestling should point too many fingers
for domestic abuse
in the domestic abuser and drug abuser direction.
Fair enough. But it won't stop them.
It won't stop
them. It took them a whole week to come up with a celebrity photo leak.
Yes.
Thing.
You know what I did like this week? Jerry Lawler not standing up for the Russian national anthem.
And then you had Michael Cole, like, immediately corpsing.
Yes. I don't much care for Jerry's humor, but a stopped clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
And this was one of those two times.
He looked like a founding member of the Little Rascals.
It looked like Vince McMahon put Jerry Lawler in timeout. It was pouting Jerry. That might have been my favorite thing to happen. Good job, Jerry Lawler.
Yeah. No, I can't argue against it. Yeah.
So.
I wasn't even going to speak ill on the whole, like, photo leak segment. Because it's Ziggler and he's perfect.
It's Ziggler and like, that helped. And again, it was an episode where I was enjoying the episode.
Yeah.
And, like, and again, so it's why I feel bad about complaining about stuff. Because I enjoyed this week in wrestling. Yeah. I enjoyed this week in Raw. I wasn't bemoaning, wishing for this episode to end. It was fun times, but, you know, so that helped that.
Yeah.
That was literally, like, the barometer of, like, if Santino was funny or not, was if the rest of the episode was enjoyable in other ways.
Yeah.
You know? And so... No, no, but okay. So, watching the Monday Night War things,
mm-hmm.
They did a—I don't remember what episode it was—but they did a segment on the Hardcore Championship.
Okay,
and you remember? And remember, it was the championship that it was. You defended it 24/7.
Yeah.
So you guys, your championship being defended 24/7, and now you have a network. That's on 24/7.
Yeah.
And you have an app that sends people updates.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the Hardcore Championship is being defended right now exclusively on the WWE Network. Who cares if it's Wednesday afternoon at 1:30?
Right.
Crank on that WWE Network because the Hardcore Championship is being defended.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, in the middle of a park.
You're sitting there watching a press conference of the president talking about his plan with ISIS? Well, forget that noise. The Hardcore Championship is on the line right now. And it's not going to be preempted because it's on the WWE Network.
Exactly. But, like, so you do that, and then, like, you know, and I can... You have a little section on the thing for, you know, here are the Hardcore Championship matches that happened.
Yeah.
And you talk about it on Raw. You do a little replay on Raw because you still want to know about it.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it's something that I was like, I'd download that app for that, and I have not downloaded your app
yet.
I have not, no.
Wow, okay.
I don't want to spoil the paper, we don't watch pay-per-views live.
I don't think they send push notifications on those anymore.
Okay, well that's literally the reason I have not downloaded
because that happened to me one time. And either that or I deactivated push notifications for them. It was either or, yeah, I don't remember.
But so, I don't know, it's things that I don't feel like they've fully innovated it.
Right.
And part of it is I don't think they care. Part of it is I think, you know, they want it to be successful without having to try to figure out how to make it successful.
Right.
You know, it's a lot of, like, Twitter's important, we gotta make the Twitter happen. Twitter, everybody now, Twitter, just go.
Twitter.
And you see, like, Zack Ryder. Oh, you know, they're like, Zack Ryder hasn't been on TV in 3 months. Why are there so many signs? Twitter magic happened.
Right.
We need Twitter magic on everything.
Yeah.
But they don't know how to make it work.
Yeah.
They
don't know that, oh, if someone doesn't have a personality, then it probably won't translate well on Twitter either.
This is also not just a WWE problem. This is Wendy's being like, everybody tweet hashtag baconburger with Wendy's. I'm not going to tweet hashtag baconburger at Wendy's. I'm sorry.
Unless you're eating a bacon burger. Then maybe, like, oh yeah, this hashtag bacon burger is amazing.
It's probably not going to do that.
Okay, fine. But your personal vendetta against Wendy's is beyond the point of their bacon burgers are amazing.
But it's... The point is, every company in the world is trying to... Social media, make it work. I want the money that Facebook has.
It's like, you know... Big corporations or these big companies, like, bringing in these YouTube sensations type people and, like, hey, make us a viral video. It's like, that's not how it works. You just kind of make it and then you send it out there and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
That's why I hate the term viral. It's just, ew.
Ew.
Yeah. It's right up there with, like, company buzzwords like synergy that drives me insane.
Yeah. But, I don't know, we talked about... going back to talking about the network a long time ago, we talked about this is, you know, when between the press conference and the network launching, it was very exciting. This is like, this is it. This is, look at WWE, take this risk. This is a WrestleMania 1 level risk.
Yeah.
This is a company make or break risk. It is a thrilling to see them put all these eggs in this basket that they believe in and shoot for the stars.
Yeah.
And... kind of have.
Yeah.
And I get why you don't. I get, you know, for better or for worse, during the Monday Night War, you put your eggs in the basket because if you don't, you're going out of business.
Yeah.
And you don't have that pressure right now. Mm-mm. I mean, you don't. It's a niche entertainment industry that has been around for 100 years. It will continue to exist in some form or fashion. And right now, you are unquestionably the top dog there. And the second closest to you has failed.
Yeah.
And so, the next thing up will not be, for several years, WWE will not be threatened by a rival wrestling company.
Anytime soon.
For the next 5-10 years, probably.
Yeah.
You know, if a Ted Turner level billionaire, you know,
invested in it.
Yeah, I mean that's part of the reason WCW, you know, did was that somebody threw down money and was like, I want this market.
Yeah.
And so, but playing it safe is not what got them there. And I just want compromise. Honestly, that's the thing. Is like I don't need you to go crazy everywhere. I get playing it safe. I get playing it smart. I get being a publicly traded company and needing to show success and growth on a quarterly report.
Yeah.
But I feel like playing it safe is a across the company blanket statement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's stuff like, you know, superstars, nobody cares. What if you did something off the wall crazy on superstars or main event or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
What if you did something in the mid card? You know, John Cena is still your number one guy. John Cena is still going to hit that 9 o'clock mark or that 10 o'clock mark. Get the numbers there that he has always gotten and will always get.
Right.
But, you know, in the middle of the thing, you do something crazy just to see if that crazy thing works. And if it doesn't, you ignore it. And Plutarchs like me and this guy will complain about why you gave up on that on podcasts, but so what?
You call me a Plutarch?
Yeah.
What's a Plutarch?
I don't know.
Okay.
We'll sit here and complain about, hey, why'd that thing not work? Were you ever going to answer that storyline thread?
Right, yeah.
But it doesn't matter in the real world because, you know, other people don't care.
Yeah.
And so have Titus O'Neil do something crazy.
Right.
In that storyline. You got a bunny. It's a little weird. And it's... honestly, I'm interested. I'm see what's going to happen with the bunny. I want to know. I'm interested to see if we can follow through with this bunny thing.
It's like Caitlyn's secret admirer, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, it was one of those things, like, it's not a big deal, but, okay, I'll wait and see what happens and see how it ends. And it ended up kind of being mad, but whatever.
But whatever. You tried it, it was a thing, but it's still...
At the very worst, it's going to be someone texting himself. At the very worst. Or it's going to be Hornswoggle.
Or Hornswoggle. That's the thing. You can always make it Hornswoggle.
But
I don't want to give you permission for that. But you know you can. But it, okay, but those things still aren't even that off-the-wall crazy, you know? It's, it's a Secret of Meyer storyline. Or, oh, it's a, you know, the bunny mascot is wrestling. And just like... I don't know. I didn't come here prepared with, like, an example. But... You look at the famous Attitude Era things, and some of them are degeneration, just saying stuff on TV, doing stuff on TV that you can't do.
Mm.
You know? And so you don't want to do that because you don't want to. And if you don't want to as a company because you want to be a PG company or you want to be a respectful family company again,
yeah,
fine. I'm not saying do that. But there was... But, like, the NXT invasion, the WCW invasion.
Yeah.
You know, just a thing, like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think you knew what was going to happen.
No.
You know? And, like, I feel like your best moments still come from that. The pipe bomb promo came from sending CM Punk out there, taking talk. Mm. You know, it wasn't a crazy thing. You weren't, you know... Yeah, you still had faith in him to adhere to the standards and practices of being on USA TV and not getting fined. But, you know, what's the worst that can happen is he'll do this, and John Cena will beat him, you know, at Money in the Bank, and he'll go away forever.
Mm-hmm.
And be a blip in your history books. But it was a crazy thing of just give a disgruntled employee a microphone and let him complain and see where he goes.
Yeah.
And see where this storyline goes. Because you don't know.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. And this flies in the face of me being like, I want long-term storytelling and I want you to know where you're going with stuff. But, yes, I want that... For some things, but that doesn't mean just throw something against the wall.
Yeah.
Because you have 80 wrestlers on your roster.
Yeah.
You have 3 hours every Monday night, another 2 on Friday, and a network.
Yeah.
So, you're a empire, you're a dynasty. Do something different somewhere.
Yeah.
Do a crazy, weird type of match. You know? I don't know. Just do something.
Yeah.
And again, it's not... Your main event can always and will always be safe. And that will always be the top story. The championship. And I'm all about honor and integrity into the championship scene. Don't have the championship decided by an arm wrestling contest or a pie eating contest or whatever you want to do there.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, when The Rock comes back, he will be at the top. He'll be in the championship contender's main event feel.
Mm-hmm.
But you have this, you have everything else. And everything else right now is just less exciting versions of the same thing.
Right.
That we sit through to wait for the championship and the top tier version of it. Because that's the exciting and the most important thing.
Yeah. But we did almost see Seth Rollins get impaled.
We did almost see Seth Rollins get impaled.
So there's that.
Don't think that was intended.
Probably not.
I don't think anybody's like, let's do something crazy. Maybe skewer Seth Rollins.
That'll
get him to tune in.
That'll make OMG Volume 3.
That will. Have you watched OMG Volume 2 yet?
I didn't know if it was out yet.
I don't know if it's out yet either. I think it is. That one, I think it came out like...
I'm less excited about that because it's WCW.
Okay.
Because I was never a WCW fan, so...
Well, that's the thing. It's going to be...
I don't watch it, but...
I mean, it's going to be the finger poke and the third man leg drop are going to boom, boom, and then, I don't know.
And then David Arquette winning.
David Arquette winning. Yeah.
RoboCop.
You think RoboCop will be in the top 50?
It made the promo. It made the commercial.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if Starcade's...
And you see who's on the cover of this Blu-ray?
Yes, I have.
It's Vince and
Shane.
And Shane.
It's
Shane. Like, that's cheating.
Come on. Shane buying WCW.
That's... So. No, that is absolutely rewriting history. Or not rewriting history, but history written by the victors.
Yes, that is history written by the victors.
That's...
In a big bad way.
Come on, at least put Hogan or something on there.
Yeah. But it's put the NWO, because that's that...
Right.
That by and large, the NWO and Sting is by and large WCW.
Now, on the Monday Night War thing, do you think there's going to be a Sting episode?
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling if there's a Mick Foley episode, there's probably going to be like a Stone Cold and maybe a Rock episode.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is like, so the first episode was like the origin of the Monday Night Wars, was like the shots fired kind of thing. And did a good job balancing like what these two companies were doing compared to each other at the time.
Yeah.
And they haven't really followed through with that kind of thing. They did like NWO episode, Attitude Era episode, DX episode, Mick Foley episode.
Yeah.
And depending on how long they go, how far, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. Stone Cold, Rock, Sting.
Okay.
That's kind of where you're going. But I don't know. I don't know where they can go there. I mean... That's the kind of thing. It's like, it's quote unquote the greatest time in WWE or in wrestling at all, because you know you have two fully funded top tier companies competing with each other, putting out continual product.
Right.
But at the same time, even as someone who wasn't watching during the Attitude Era, even who as someone who was getting a lot of their information, I was getting a lot of my information secondhand on playgrounds and in classrooms and that kind of stuff. Just through osmosis and through documentaries and, you know, that kind of stuff, and through occasionally looking up something on Wikipedia when I was confused, I feel like I basically know everything that happened in the Monday Night Wars.
Yeah.
You know, I know all the main events.
Yeah, you know all the major points.
Exactly. And so, I don't know what... And that's part of the reason that the first episode was so interesting to me, was it covered a lot of things that had not been covered in other stuff. Mm. It discussed the genesis of getting Hulk Hogan to come back.
Right.
You know, it spoke about the genesis of getting that Lex Luger moment on the beginning episode. I knew that it happened, but I didn't know a lot of the stories of, like, whose idea, who spoke to who, how those contracts were successfully signed for that to happen. Because there's never been a Lex Luger DVD.
No.
So that's the kind of, like, that's what I was interested in. These more recent episodes have basically just been like, and then this highlight happened, and this highlight happened, and this highlight happened. Yep. I saw all that. You know, spread out over, and this is the most compact about this thing kind of thing, but I've seen Rock DVDs, I've seen Mankind DVDs, I've seen DX DVDs, I watched the NWO documentary, so...
Why?
You've watched the NWO documentary.
No, I have not.
Oh, you've never seen it?
I'm okay with not seeing it.
I thought you'd seen it. Did you just fake having seen it? I thought we talked about it.
No, we talked about it, but I never watched it.
No, I watched it, and
I'm not going to watch Leprechaun Origins.
I'm not going to watch Leprechaun Origins either.
Beardsley's going to watch it, though.
That's what I've heard.
He's got it on his computer. I mean, he bought it.
However, we should talk about NXT TakeOver.
Yeah, that's the whole reason why we put off the podcast so this late in the week.
Yep. And I wanted to get all that other stuff off my chest because I wanted to say NXT is almost doing that.
Yeah. You know how they're almost doing that? They're having good matches.
They're having
like at the core of it. That's what's going.
At the core of it, they're having good matches.
They have a lot of characters. A lot of them are weird, but they're trying it.
They're weird, but they're trying it. They're also. They are not caring about WWE. Everybody on NXT desperately wants to be NXT champion.
Yeah.
They don't want to be, and you know, I'm sure the people do want that. You know that this is a stepping stone to get onto Raw and get to be that kind of champion.
Yeah.
But nobody is focused on that.
Yeah.
You know, everybody desperately wants to be on NXT, to be NXT champion, to be the most successful NXT wrestler.
Yeah.
And that goes a long way. You are setting up, you are in the prime of setting up an NXT invasion angle.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know if that's in the cards. I don't know if anybody is.
Or that would be too close to the Nexus thing.
Nexus, it's been a while since Nexus happened, honestly.
Fair enough.
Like, I think a lot of people have not seen that, basically. But it's, you know, and it doesn't have to happen now. It can happen in 2 years, in 3 years. But it is almost the NWO angle. It's, you know, this other separate company.
Yeah.
Or the, you know, other invasion, the WCW, WWE invasion angle.
Yeah.
That happened after the buyout.
Yeah.
But you do have this, you have this vision, this thought that NXT is almost this completely separate thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, part of it is, to be fair, part of it is everybody on NXT still has something to prove.
Right.
John Cena has nothing to prove. So John Cena is not going to give it his all every match. And he shouldn't.
Right.
You know, I have no desire to see John Cena go a genuine 110% every match. I have no desire to see Randy Orton go 110% every match.
Mm.
I mean, pull it out when it's the big matches.
Yeah.
But on NXT, these people are going, you know, the full intensity for every match because they have to prove that they can.
Yeah.
They are also having long extended matches for doofy characters and doofy reasons that aren't for titles.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, to see something like TakeOver, which is effectively their pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You know? To see what these people are going through for championships that are baby championships, that are minor, theoretically insufficient championships compared to the World Heavyweight Champion, or even the U.S. or Intercontinental Championship. It's exciting to see what these guys do. And every single one of them looks like they could jump onto Raw any moment and take on anybody.
Yeah.
And that's part of the thing, is NXT is structured in such a way right now that everybody looks strong at NXT.
Right.
And WWE has always struggled with that. They've always struggled with making two people come out of the same match looking strong.
Right.
And NXT has done that very successfully.
Mm-hmm.
I guess not so much with Ascension, because Ascension lost, and then they lost to one dude.
Yeah.
So.
But before that, Ascension ran over pretty much everybody.
Yeah, but before that, they were undefeated for a year or something like that. So, they're none too far from, you know, one victory on NXT next week. Then they're back, and it's fine. So, all this doom and gloom, all this down, all this blah, NXT is such a beacon, a shining light of excitement and hope, and
yeah,
there are good things a-coming. And you even look at the main roster now, and like, what came from NXT? Like, Roman Reigns came from NXT. Dean Ambrose came from NXT. Seth Rollins came from NXT. Rusev, Bo Dallas, like, you know.
The Wyatts.
The whole Wyatt family came from NXT. This is so, everything that's my favorite
right now, yeah,
is all NXT born and bred.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, to accidentally whine and be down on you for an entire episode.
Yeah.
That's not my intent at all, but yeah, but to to have NXT there. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's
uplifting.
It is. It's there's nothing but hope there.
Yeah.
There's nobody, even the guys that I'm not super big on, I'm not dreading seeing them be successful.
Yeah.
You know, at wrestling. And it has a much more this could go anywhere feel.
Yeah.
And part of that might be that because WWE has been so Cena Orton centric that there is nowhere to go there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know where they're going to go with this in NXT is I don't know where Charlotte's going to go. I don't know what she's going to do.
Yeah.
I still don't know if some of these people are faces or heels.
Yeah.
They're kind of, it depends on who they're facing or it depends on, you know, what the match is for.
Yeah.
Or any other kind of thing that it might depend on. So, I don't know. It's an exciting thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I want to end on my whole bleh rant on NXT is an exciting thing, and it continues to be that, and I have nothing but good things to say about that, and about the fact that not only is that the talent that is of the future, that is the management of the future.
Yeah.
It is innovative. It is trying new things. And even just stuff like the LED panel instead of the ring apron.
Yeah, I think that was just for TakeOver, but
Yeah, it was just for TakeOver, but like, it was a thing. It was a, you know.
It's different.
It shows that somebody at some point cared enough about something to be like, what if this was something else?
Yeah.
You know, to care enough to be like, can we make the ring apron better?
Yeah.
You know, that's a very refreshing thing. Even if you're like, we did this, I'm like, that's dumb and dangerous, yeah. And somebody might hurt themselves. Don't like do
the,
that.
The little screen thing that's above the ring, the underside of it is an LED screen. I'm like, who's going to see that? Except for whenever they have the camera angle pointing up. Then you can see that. That's just for that one camera shot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that benefits no one in the ring or whatever, or the aesthetics of anything, except for that one shot.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like that. Like, someone's like, what if we could do that, something with that one area that no one really sees?
And so, and like, but just that it's occurring to people in NXT.
Yeah.
So that's refreshing. And I like it.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Anything else for you?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We live tweet all Mondays, appropriate Sundays, and then just in general throughout the week. Tweet to us, we'll tweet back. Just talk about wrestling. It's fun to do.
Yeah. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, so follow us on iTunes, give us a subscribe, give us a rating of
5 stars,
or any kind of review that you write, really helps out the show.
And if you're listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there, we'd love to hear from you.
Don't forget, we are also on Facebook, that's an easy way to keep up with as well, just find us on Facebook, it's Classroom Attire, any kind of, you know, that likes that, that's easy to keep up with everything that we're doing.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.